Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. The Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station present Les RVF Marathon, which aims to promote language duality in Canada across the country. Stay tuned for this marathon day of the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie and visit www.ncra.ca/RVF for more information on this event.
My name is Danny Dowell, and I'm a producer with CFYT 106.9 FM, a 100% volunteer-run community radio station in Dawson City, Yukon, in Canada's north, and a proud member of the National Campus and Community Radio Association. This production, which touches on some bilingualism initiatives in Dawson, is part of the 50th anniversary commemoration of bilingualism in Canada. Through Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, a national celebration of the Francophonie, its culture, its diversity, and its inclusiveness across the country. We've called this podcast Petit Bleu, and you'll understand why shortly. But first, let's talk about the Yukon. It's the smallest and least populated of Canada's three northern territories, with a total population of about 35,000 inhabitants in a territory approximately the same size as California. It borders Alaska in the west, the Northwest Territories in the east, the Beaufort Sea, which is part of the Arctic Ocean, in the north, and beautiful British Columbia in the south. Now, the Yukon is already a pretty bilingual place. In terms of population percentage, the Yukon is third in Canada for being the most bilingual, after Quebec and New Brunswick. Approximately 14% of the population can speak both English and French, and French is the mother tongue of about 5% of Yukoners. Maybe that's because Francophones have always been a big part of the Yukon's history, and especially here around Dawson. In 1840, Robert Campbell is credited with exploring inland Yukon for the Hudson's Bay Company, but it was only possible because of his French-Canadian guides. In 1874, Francophone fur trader François-Xavier Mercier started the Fort Reliance Trading Post, just downriver from what is now Dawson City, near the mouth of the Klondike River. By the time the famous Klondike Gold Rush started in 1896, and outsiders stampeded to the region by the tens of thousands, Francophones were already well established in the region. Alex Somerville, director of the Dawson City Museum, recalls some of this history.
A lot of the employees of the HBC, of the Hudson Bay Company, were Francophones, were Franco-Canadians or Quebecois. They were in the Yukon trapping and sledding. Some of the first Francophones, Franco-Canadians of significance in Yukon history, the names that show up are Nolasque and Emily Tremblay, were a Quebecois couple who came to the Yukon in 1893. As prospectors. Nolasque was a prospector, and he brought his wife, Emily. And they remained in Yukon, and Emily Tremblay is one of the people credited with being the first white woman over the Chilkoot, and had earned for herself, much more than her husband, Nolasque, a place in Dawson's sort of mythological imagination. After the Gold Rush, she opened a clothing store, a dressmaker shop, and that was one of the properties that was still standing when Parks Canada came to Dawson in the late 50s, and that they have since restored and repainted prominently on the front, Madame Tremblay's store. So that's one great example. Also in the 40-mile region where the Tremblays were mining was another miner named François Buteau, who earned for himself the title King of 40 Mile. He was an early example of sort of an increasing settler presence in the Yukon River Basin. Though he had been a miner, decided that there were so many miners and prospectors around 40 Mile that there was an easier and better living to be made doing something else. And so he became a blacksmith. And that's all before Dawson City even gets started.
But there's a more recent, modern influx of Francophones. Not only has the percentage of Francophone and bilingual Yukoners been increasing, more and more they've been coming from outside. In fact, only 15% of the Yukon's current Francophones were born here, with 74% coming from elsewhere in Canada, and about another 12% coming from abroad. Many come as temporary employees during the summer tourism and mining seasons, but Dawson City is heavily populated by people who arrived intending to be here for just a little while and ended up staying permanently. Paul Robitaille, marketing and events manager at the Klondike Visitors Association, talks about some of these newest arrivals.
It seems to me that we're getting more and more Quebec transients coming to Dawson to work for the summers. There's something about the wilderness here, and they're a bit more adventurous, I think, than some of our other provincial visitors or transients that come. Because, you know, something in Dawson is that it can be hard to find places to stay, but they seem to be a bit more hardy and willing to put up with those hardships. I don't know why, but that's fine. And I think that that's a benefit to us as a destination, right? Because they can learn English and figure it out once they get here. I think Dawson's as Canadian as you can get, you know. You think of the red surge, cold winters, you know, dog mushing, that type of thing. It's iconically Canadian, and bilingualism is another factor that's part of that. And you're really hard pressed to walk through our town and go to a business where there's not Francophone employees. Every time I'm downstairs in the visitor center talking to Francophone guests, they always say they're shocked by the number of French speaking service providers in town.
But there are two sides to bilingualism in Dawson City, of course. It's not just about encouraging Francophones to come to the area and acquire English. For bilingualism to really flourish, you need to have Anglophones who learn to speak French. Certainly at the school level, bilingualism programs are on the upswing in the Yukon. Enrollment in French immersion has increased by 89% since 2004. There are three French language schools, including École Émilie Tremblay, named after Dawson's pioneer and businesswoman. And there's even a French language daycare. The thing is, all these Francophone facilities are located in the territorial capital of Whitehorse, about 530 kilometers south of Dawson City. After all, over 83% of the population of the Yukon lives in Whitehorse. So, by extension, most Franco-Yukonais live in and around the capital as well. Which brings us to our Petit Bleu story. In the Yukon towns away from Whitehorse, many programs or initiatives are often self-organized local endeavors. Such was the case with a program now being run at a local daycare, which is named Little Blue Daycare. Little Blue has been around for 30 years. It's operated by the Dawson Child Care Association, a local nonprofit, and it's a facility open to all Dawsonites. Little Blue resides in a modest blue-clad historic building, hence its name. It's an early learning center that runs toddler and preschool activities, and lately, it's been getting a lot of buzz for a grassroots program that is helping to expose children to the French language at a very early age. Little Blue staffer Courtney Jackson DeSalle explains.
So I am the office manager at Little Blue, and we are a nonprofit organization. We are a daycare center for a toddler group, so that's from 18 months until 2, and then we have 2 preschool groups. I do believe that this is the first French program that has happened at Little Blue. There are about 20 kids that attend Little Blue, and with their time being at Little Blue, they will get some exposure with the French program.
The program is the brainchild of Camille Collas, who originally came to Canada from Belgium and was hired by Little Blue to work with the toddlers.
My name is Camille Collas. I'm working as an early childhood educator at the Little Blue Daycare. I arrived in May 2017.
I have the toddlers, so from 18 months to 2 to 2.5, depending when there is room downstairs for them to go down.
Teaching the toddlers French was not originally part of Camille's job requirements. However, early childhood education covers a broad range. Children are taught how to interact with one another, how to count. They're taught music, plus they're given early exposure to sports like swimming, skating, and riding a bicycle. Being bilingual herself, Camille saw an opportunity to also help children develop language skills.
Okay. Charlie, quelle couleur veux-tu? Bleu? Okay. Ivy, quelle couleur veux-tu? Le jaune? Leia, quelle couleur veux-tu? Le mauve? Hazel, quelle couleur veux-tu? Le vert?
So since I've arrived to the daycare, I started my program a bit bilingual, and I had my supervisor child in my program before, and she moved on in the next program as I have the little one. And she was like, oh, it's a shame that she cannot have any more French programs. I was like, oh, I could still teach them. She was like, okay, let's do it.
Camille's informal French interaction with children was so successful and so well received by parents, the Little Blue soon moved to make it a formal program and to expand it from the toddlers to the preschool children as well. To make this happen, they sought financial help from a community funding source unique to Dawson City, the Klondike Visitors Association, or KVA.
The idea with KVA is that we're a not-for-profit destination marketing organization. And our role is to increase the tourism activity in town and improve our economy through tourism initiatives. So all of the initiatives we take on are funded through the money we raise at Diamond Tooth Gertie's Gambling Hall. And really, we've got our hands in supporting any event that brings in tourism to Dawson City. So we operate attractions, we run events, we do marketing, and so we're kind of multifaceted in that sense. And it's a really unique scenario in that sense because there's very few not-for-profit casinos in the world. And so we like to remind people that, you know, we precede the Department of Tourism in the Yukon. So we're the first destination marketing organization in the territory. And we were also the first legal casino in Canada. And I mean, a lot of our goal is to not only improve the economy, but improve the quality of life in Dawson. So there's a big quality of life piece to what we do, you know. So some of the initiatives we take on, such as things like KVA grants, are to kind of give back to the community. You know, last year, I think we put $1.4 million back into the community just in wages, which is pretty fantastic. You know, a lot of people don't realize that something like a casino can have some, you know, negative social effects on a community, but there's positives to it too when you think of the money that that keeps in our community. And then things like KVA grants is an initiative where we set aside a pot of money, about $20,000 per year, and that money, people apply for it and we disperse it to community groups that are putting on initiatives, one of which would be like the Little Blue Daycare that did a French programming project last year.
Comment ça va aujourd'hui? On va faire notre chanson, on va se mettre debout. Debout, sur les pieds. On est prêt? Tête, épaule, genoux et pieds. Genoux et pieds.
And the KVA gave us the grant. And so thanks to that, I managed to go and fly to Whitehorse to meet Geneviève Tremblay, who's the childhood commissioner. And with her, I went to visit the French daycare, the French school. And we also started an exchange. I can borrow some French material to the school too, thanks to that visit. And the other part of the money is for books, and we have one junior preschool and one preschool program now. So my program gets bilingual
program all week long, and I'm offering 30 minutes in once a week in both program downstairs. And also when I'm going down, I do add more sentence in French. All what is about the routine is gonna be in French now. So we start with a opening song to say hi. We're doing the calendar in French. We're gonna start the weather in French too. We start with a game, a song, and finish by a book around the theme of the month. So last month we learned the color. This month we are learning about the body parts.
Est-ce que quelqu'un a des cheveux?
I don't have it.
Des cheveux? J'ai des cheveux. Et ça, c'est quoi? C'est une main. Une main. Merci, Charlie. Yeah, Charlie said the word.
So we have 20 children at the daycare, but it's not in all in ones. The biggest group I have in ones is 8. But it happens that sometimes I do a circle in French with 10, 12, depending. If we're not that much children, I can take all the daycare and we're gonna do some song in French then.
On est prêts?
Un,
deux, trois,
quatre,
et
cinq!
Some people are skeptical that children as young as 2 or 3 years of age are able to learn a second language, given that they haven't even mastered their mother tongue yet. In fact, studies by Harvard University show that the creativity, critical thinking skills, and flexibility of the mind are significantly enhanced if children learn a second language at a younger age. Formal schooling in North America may not start until 5 years of age, but children have a natural ability to learn before that, as their main learning pathways develop during the first few years of their life. Preschool years are when the foundations for attitudes, thinking, and learning, among others, are laid down. Mind you, these are science's generalities, and the realities of life will vary on a child-by-child basis. Since starting the toddler and preschool French programs, Camille has certainly seen differences in terms of how the various kids take to it.
So some of them are picking it up quickly, some other are not interested, but I mean all our interests are different and we cannot force a child. So some of them are just gonna watch, some of them are gonna do the same gest that I'm doing, because every song or every game goes with gesture to help to memorize one word. And some of them are gonna do the gesture and repeat the words. So, depends on the child and depends on the day too. Some days they're just gonna watch and the day after they're just gonna take part in the circle.
I don't want to shake on it.
Parents who have children attending Little Blue Daycare are among the most enthusiastic supporters of the French program. They tend to agree that learning a second language at an early age aids their child's development, but will also have long-term practical benefits, especially in bilingual Canada. Parent John McDonald and his wife are both Anglophones and feel Little Blue's French program will greatly benefit their children, Heather and Jack.
I'm interested in having my kids in this program because we know that right now the time for all the kids at Little Blue, that's the time when all of their brain development happens. And so the more that we can get things like a second language introduced to them, hopefully the more that they'll kind of develop and be receptive to learning other languages.
Right.
Both myself and my wife are unilinguals, so that's one thing that we'd love to be able to introduce is a second language to our kids. And so we have to look outside the home to be able to do that.
Jesse Cook is also the parent of 2 children attending Little Blue. Although he is bilingual, his wife is not, so he feels the daycare's program really helps to bolster their own family efforts to teach their children French.
I'm just so excited about the French program at Little Blue because I grew up in the speaking French as a kid and being in French schools, and we speak French to the kids at home, and we're in a bilingual family, so my wife is only English speaking, and I'm bilingual French and English, and it's just nice to have more support in the school as well. And the kids are doing really well, and we can see the progress, and it's nice to, you know, we just don't get enough of that French at home, and so it's just nice to have the support at school as well. Well, I'd like to add that it was entirely the idea of Little Blue and the staff at Little Blue and Camille, and it was entirely their initiative, and that's really awesome. I really appreciate it. Nobody has forced Camille to take these extra steps and these extra efforts to do this, but she's done it out of a passion for the language and for the community, and it's really appreciated, and it shows.
Mind you, young children are such impressionable learners at that early age. The Little Blue program has had one unforeseen side effect.
Get my one-year-old with her Belgian accent.
Yeah.
Lisa Perry, who is also a floor supervisor at Little Blue, was one of the original parents whose toddlers received French from Camille, and she saw the benefits firsthand. Lisa was therefore excited when a preschool program was able to be added.
I was a little bit disappointed when French ended in the toddler program for my own kid, and I was like, it would be really cool to... That's the only place that she's exposed to French. And so if we could carry it on through the other programs, that would be really neat for the kids. It was mainly Camille's idea. We just kind of talked a little bit about how it was a bit of a shame that kind of intensive environment that she has in the toddler program, whereas she speaks mostly French to them and they do understand it, kind of stopped there. And so we wanted to see that follow them.
As Little Blue's French program progressed, some Anglophone households soon found that the children were coming home speaking and singing in a foreign tongue that the parents couldn't understand. So Camille came up with a way to help the parents with their French.
And I've also started a newsletter for parents to tell them which song we were doing, and to give them some grammar and the vocabulary we're seeing that we're learning with the children. Because when I started, I was singing in French, and some parents were like, I don't know what's the song. I have no clue what my child is singing. So, yeah, that's the idea, is that the parents can follow up with if they want.
We're not saying the Little Blue French program is going to single-handedly produce the next generation of bilingual Dawsonites. Eventually, these little bluebirds will have to leave the nursery nest. In public school, all Dawson students are required to take an intensive grade 5 French program, and presumably early exposure to the language in the daycare will really help in this regard. Donna Lizancic, a teacher at the Robert Service School, describes some of the aspects and challenges of the grade 5 program.
The French intensive program begins in grade 5, so it's students who are the age of 10. So you do a different formation every week. So maybe you're talking about how to express your personal opinion, how to talk about your family. So right from the beginning, we speak French to them, just French. So it's similar to an immersion program in that they are only speaking in French. They try to make the program as authentic and real to the teacher and the students as they can, because they feel that engages the student more. So we do usually begin with the family unit. You know, even by the first week, they can tell you how many members of the family they have, what their ages are, that kind of thing. So it happens very, very quickly because the repetition constantly, and you're constantly reviewing and asking questions on a daily basis. You do sort of a little review of warm-up, and you might ask them, you know, quel âge a ton père, or what is your, you know, what does your dad look like, or something. So I find it's much better in terms of retention of the language and understanding of the language. They say that you learn the language as though it was your mother tongue. I'm teaching it to you like your mother would say. If you made a mistake in whatever language you spoke, your mother would say, no, this is how you say it. And so that's how this language is taught. And so it sort of sticks in more. They're able to speak quicker and retain a lot more. I've had one or two students that actually speak French. That's their first language, but very rarely is that the case. Most of the students are First Nations or non-First Nations. And in the case of Dawson, unfortunately. It's the only class that you can take if you're in grade five. If you were in grade five, you're doing a French intensive. I think in Whitehorse, other schools, I'm not sure if it's mandated that they take it, but here it is. If you're in grade five, then you're taking the intensive French, whether you want to or not. I think I'm not sure that it's great for every single kid. It doesn't always work for every single kid, but for the majority, it does. Even the ones who struggle, if there's a child that has a learning issue or challenge, often that's not really the case with French intensive because everyone's on the same level. So they're all learning from the beginning. So they find a little bit more success there.
I suppose we'll just have to come back in a few years and find out how the Petit Bleu graduates are making out. Still, they say a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, and we can at least wish this group of fledgling French students bon voyage.
J'ai mes deux mains, mes 10 doigts, les yeux encore tout fatigués, comme tous les matins.
Ok, alors, ce mois-ci, nous sommes le mois de...
Mars.
This has been a production of the Dawson City Community Radio Society, made possible by Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie and the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Special thanks to Little Blue Daycare, Gabriella Skaga, the Klondike Visitors Association, the Dawson City Museum, and the Robert Service School. I'm Danny Dowell. Thanks for listening.
Joining us for this marathon day of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by the Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station. For more information on Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie events, or to provide feedback on the show, visit www.rvf.ca.